that song, we want to be on fire for God. And both the last two songs we sang had a lot to do with loving God with all our hearts. The two things that we're about as a church: love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And as we dive into this fall, I know that's our passion and our goal and our drive as a group, as individuals and as a group, that would be more in tune with that and more able to do that than ever before. Some of the things that are coming, you might open up your handout and see something like a Meet the Leaders lunch today. The reason we do that is to try to explain our discipleship process, which those are the two goals: love God more and love people more. So we take everybody through a connect, grow, serve, and go. Each of those is a Sunday afternoon seminar type basis, a seminar structure, so that you can dive into what does it mean to connect with the body of Christ? What does it mean to grow as a Christian? And as you're growing as a Christian, what does it mean to have a ministry? In fact, that's our biggest focus today, is that we would ask God to show us how to fulfill our ministry. And then the one that we're going to be working on next is how do we turn that into multiplication? How do we multiply that and get others growing as well? So feel encouraged about what's in the handout, some of the things that are coming and upon us. Really exciting times for the body of Christ here. I always want to mention, too, in our worship services, even though a vast majority of our giving is now online, you can do that. You can give through MoGive, but we also have places in the church building here by each exit that you can utilize for giving a gift, giving an offering, or a tithe as you wish. As you come together today, in the insert inside your handout this morning is a white sheet that speaks specifically about fulfilling your ministry. If you've got that with you, go ahead and get that out, and let's take some time this morning and and dive into the end of Paul's book to Timothy, Paul's letter to Timothy. As he writes this, it's kind of like Paul's right at the very end of his life, and he's got to give the most important instructions that he has for Timothy. It's kind of akin to, how many of you know somebody that maybe is knowing their end of their life is near and they have a bucket list? You know, a lady in my Rotary Club just turned 70. And one of the things on her bucket list was to jump out of an airplane. So she got someone strapped her on and she jumped out of an airplane at her 70th birthday. You know, wow. I think somebody did that, like President Bush, or somebody did that like in his 80s or 90s or something. Is it true? Okay. 41. President 41, George Bush 41. Yeah. So as you might ask yourself, what's on your bucket list? Now, a lot of times those bucket lists are filled with bungee jumping and things out of airplanes and stuff, but what's on your bucket list when it comes to spiritual things? Because the clock's running for all of us, whether we realize it or not, and just because we don't have a date yet on when the end is coming, the end is coming for all of us. It's more a matter of when, not if, right? So ask yourself that question. What is it that God would place on your bucket list? So as Paul is at the very, very end, this is probably the last sentence that Paul writes before his life is taken. I mean, if you're at someone's bedside in the hospital and they give you some last words, you kind of hang on to those. In this case, this is Paul's last words to a trusted confidant, to his son in the Lord, he called him, to the affectionate son in Jesus called Timothy, as he gives him this charge and encourages him. I think he encourages us in the same kind of way. So hopefully this morning, some things will come to us about ministry that could be on your bucket list or my bucket list that would say, how are we going to fulfill our ministry? It's a key phrase in verse 5. We're going to drill into that a little more specifically. First of all, if we're going to be fulfilling our ministry, the first thing we need to do is find our ministry. I know all kinds of people who, when you talk to them about ministry, they only think about a pastor in the pulpit or the minister whose job it is to minister. They don't think about themselves having a ministry. Bible points out the opposite. And every person's encouraged to discover, develop, and deploy your spiritual gifts. So jot that down first of all. Find your ministry. God has given many gifts. Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 are just passionate places where you'll find things about your ministry. If you don't know what your ministry is, you can't fulfill it. So an embedded prerequisite to fulfill your ministry is to know what your ministry is. And everybody's ministry is going to be different. Everybody's ministry is going to be look different. Follow along with this from Romans chapter 12. For by the grace of God given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you are, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Underline that, each of you, if you would. For just as each of us has one body and many members, and these members do not have the same function, so in Christ, though many form one body, each member belongs to all the others. As you discover, you find your spiritual gift, you'll find that it's not for you. It's always for others. That's what ministry is really about. Serving is others oriented. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. You see, every one of us is going to have a different gift. On that particular list, I tend to peg high on the encourage and teach side of things. In fact, if I take tests, what always pegs the meter for me is encourage. Now, sometimes that comes out in a counseling session or at someone's home or in someone's hospital bed. A lot of times it's in the body of Christ, in a church setting, in a classroom, to encourage. Well, what's yours? You've probably seen this morning already people exercising various gifts of serving or teaching or loving. What is your gift? And it's not that you can't have multiple or show themselves in different ways, but you've got to find which avenue of ministry God has led you to perform and to engage in. To find your ministry. Each one has a gift or gifts, plural. Now, I know that might be new to you or it might be controversial in some areas, but let me just encourage you. You have a gift. Not all have the same gift. So often, in fact, Corinthians talks about this, we tend to elevate those upfront kinds of gifts. Those are no more important than the others. In fact, let's move to that. Every ministry is important. Every ministry is important. You may be changing diapers in the nursery. Is that important? Well, to that baby it is, right? To the people around, it is, right? No? Don't ever discount whatever ministry God has given you or compare it with others and say, mine is less valuable or theirs is more valuable. Just the opposite. As you find, discover, develop, and deploy your ministry, know that every ministry is important. So just a real quick verse here. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, is it for that reason stop being part of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Can you underline that one too? God placed the gifts, the skills, the abilities, the ministries in the body, just like he wants them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, many parts but one body. So I want you to just be encouraged this morning that whatever gift, talent, ability God's given you, it's unique, it's special, and it's important. Every ministry is important. Don't think of one as more important than another. All are important for the body to be complete. Just like the illustration he uses, an eye, or an ear, they're all vital and all are needed for the body to grow. Now, we always think about God causing growth, and that's good. Like Ephesians chapter 4, speak the truth in love. In all ways you grow up into him who's the head, that is Christ. That's the verse that's listed there. But notice it says, we're the ones who speak the truth to each other. We're the ones that help Christ grow the body. There's this phenomenal combination between people using their gifts and talents and abilities properly and God causing growth in the church family, in the body of Christ. Folks, if we're ever going to be what God's called us to be, every person needs to sense what is your ministry and get on task with that ministry. And even if you've had a ministry in the past, it may or may not be what God's called you to within this church family. You may grow into another direction. Your gifts or abilities might develop in an area that you've not yet had those gifts or talents. In fact, your passions often will direct the way in which you use your ministry. Someone might have a teaching ministry, but because of their passion, they may focus on the family. That's great. They might have a teaching ministry and focus on expositional teaching of God's word. They're still teaching. It's their passion that is driving where that ministry gets placed. And so God wants every one of us to find our ministry. Now, where we're really driving and drilling most importantly into this text today from 2 Timothy chapter 4 is, I call it, focus your ministry. Focus your ministry. How many of you know that the more focused you are, the more powerful? If you take a light source and diffuse it, we can light a room. But if you concentrate it like a laser, the most powerful lasers can cut through metal. Yeah? Concentrated, focused ministry. That's part of what Paul's dealing with in this 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 8. So we're going to talk most directly this morning about focusing our ministry. So you got find your ministry and focus your ministry. First of all, Paul starts out by, you got to know where your ministry comes from. Ministry is a gift from God. It's not a burden that you have to bear. Instead, it's a gift that you get to receive and to function in. Providence is God's gift. He gives us his ministry. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. So before he says fulfill your ministry, he sets the stage. In front of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who's going to judge the living and the dead, I want to charge you with something really important, because where does the gift come from? What should be our sense of who's given us the gift? It's God. It's the Lord. It's from him. And he's the one who's going to judge in the long run. So often we get caught up in saying, well, as Christians, if we have faith in Jesus Christ, he's paid for our sins and we're not going to be judged on our sins. That is correct. You and I, if we're believers and we've placed our faith in Jesus, we'll never be judged for our sins. But the Bible talks about other judgments, the white throne judgment, as well as there's a sense in which we're going to be handed rewards and encouraged because of our participation in ministry. That's where the joy can come from as we get to participate in ministry and be rewarded for those. In the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Take a minute. Assess your ministry. What is it God's placed in your... If you've already found, discovered what your ministry is, take it before God and say, how does it apply to the soon appearing of Jesus and his coming? What is it about changing diapers in the nursery that has an application to his kingdom and his appearing? What is about working on the grounds around here, you know, building and grounds team, cleaning the carpet? What is it about teaching a class or loving children that has to do with his appearing and his kingdom? Every ministry gets hooked up and linked up with the providence of God. He's provided you as an avenue for people to know him, his kingdom to grow, and his appearing to be a waited moment for people rather than a dreaded moment. Oh no, Jesus might return. Oh Lord, come quickly, Maranatha. What is it about your ministry that directly hooks up with his appearing and his kingdom? Now here's the second part in focusing. And this is the most important one. Preparation. Preparation. Catch this. He tells Timothy, who's a preacher, to preach the word. That's good, right? Timothy, preach, speak, tell of, proclaim is the word. Preach the word. Now here's it. Be what? Prepared in season and out of season. Underline that. Be prepared. How do you get prepared? With your gift, with your skill, with your ability, with your ministry. There's a sense in which all of us can tune up and prepare for ministry. He says to do it. Timothy, who is a preacher, is told to be prepared in that. To be prepared in that. This is one of the most challenging things, but it's one of the things that we have such a great opportunity today. We live in the heart of the Northwest. Around us every year are dozens and dozens and dozens of preparatory ministry options. From Overlake Christian Church, where they'll have dozens of workshops that every ministry you can conceive of, you can be helping to get prepared. Stetson and some Brad and some going to a conference about how do you become a better minister to children or to youth. Every ministry, Renee just had a workshop here about being on our greeting team to be prepared for how do you help people park their cars. We called it from the street to the seat. You know, a simple, simple ministry, but being prepared is important. Preparation. Don't go off unprepared. Timothy, be prepared. Now notice it says in season and out of season. What's that mean? That you're ready at a moment's notice. That you're ready all the time. No matter what season you are in life right now, God can use it as a preparation. I've got some daughters who are just having babies and going through that early childhood phase. You know, nursing moms, they're thinking they're wasting their times. I tell them, no, milk it for all it's worth. Sorry for the coarseness there, but you know, take the time. Use that opportunity that you're taking for nursing your children and use it as a time of preparation between you and the Father. Don't look at it as a waste of time. Oh, I got to bide my time here. My one daughter went from youth ministry to raising a family, raising kids the last couple of years. It's like, use that time. It's a springboard. It's an opportunity. It's a season. What season are you in? Lots of us are in a season where we're caring for our aging parents, caring for our elderly, or you're caring for someone with Alzheimer's or something. It's like, oh, I'm wasting my time. No, you're not. God can use that as a season in your life. Be prepared in season and out of season. There's no such thing as a time in your life that God doesn't want to use that as fertile ground to seed for ministry. But you've got to be trusting God for that. Take Paul for an example. We would not have this letter from the Apostle Paul if he said, I'm in jail, I can't do anything. Just the opposite. He said, I'm in jail, I can do a lot. And he used the season of jail to give us the letter we're studying this morning. In season and out of season. Preach the word, speak the truth, give God's grace in season and out of season in your life. Here's some things to do. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and instruction. Here's some reasons. I mentioned earlier the coming of the Lord, his appearing. A time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, they'll suit their own desires. They will gather around them a great number of teachers who say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their eyes away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Is that happening today or what? But you, notice he's saying that's an interlude. That's what's going to happen in life. But you, Timothy, you, brother, you, sister, you, couple, you, family, be sober-minded. Keep your head in all situations. Be sober-minded, one version says. Don't get drunk with the ideas of our culture and our social media. Don't let it cause you to go astray. He says, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Underline that last phrase. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. The New American Standard says, fulfill your ministry. And that's where we're headed. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Now, I know you don't look at them as duties necessarily, but that's the word here. Discharge those duties. Be prepared. Verse 6, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time of my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. So look at those words there. I have fought the good fight. See, the Apostle Paul saw himself in this ageless battle between good and evil, between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness, between light and darkness. He said, I have fought the good fight. Is that on your bucket list? To be able to stand before the Lord and brothers and sisters and say, I fought the fight of faith. Now, he's not talking about fighting with one another. Kind of the opposite. Being a gentle, humble, patient person in the midst of the body. But he's talking about fighting the good fight of faith. Secondly, some of you like this, I've run the race. I have finished the race. There was a sense in the Apostle Paul's life, he was coming to the end and he knew it. And in his mind, his bucket list was complete. I've finished the race. I've done what God called me to do. Oh, that you and I could stand at the end of our lives with that same kind of conviction and say, Lord, you've given me the opportunity to fulfill my ministry, to finish the race that you've called me to do. God, thank you. So much better than wondering, wishing, or regretting. Saying, I only wish I would have poured myself into those things that matter the most, matter more. How many of you would be excited to tell your kids and your grandkids about the great things God did as we, the body of Christ, did what we talked about last week? Watch God work in our midst. He says, I will do far more than you can imagine or think or imagine. The God who is able to do that. What an important focus for us. Notice it cost him a dear price. It cost him the pouring out of... By the way, is that what all ministry really is? It's sacrifice. You're sacrificing your comfort. You're sacrificing your desires. You're sacrificing your life and its energy. You're pouring it out. Why are you pouring it out? Like a drink offering before the Lord. It's for you, Lord. Use this, Lord. If you go by what is comfortable, you will never engage in ministry. You will never focus in ministry. Our world has kind of subtly told us that church is about comfort. The church is about having our needs met or having, what it said a minute ago, our itching ears scratched. The Bible says the opposite. What the body of Christ is about, pouring out our lives together. Pouring out our lives together as a drink offering before the Lord, and he multiplies it for the good of his kingdom, for the blessing of others, for the opportunity to see men, women, boys and girls come to know Jesus and to fall in love with him. All ministry is as if it were being poured out. I put the next one up here, this idea of prayer. Now there's in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, not only me, but for all who have longed for his appearing. I'm just taking that one phrase there. Longed for his appearing. I just sense this prayerful mode and just eagerly and excitedly looking forward to what the Lord is going to accomplish, his great appearing. In fact, that's one of the things we can all ask ourselves. Do we dread the appearing of the Lord or long for the appearing of the Lord? Paul says, I, with everyone who prayerfully longs for the appearing of the Lord. Let's dive a little bit deeper into this last one and then we'll call her good today. Fulfill your ministry. Find your ministry, focus your ministry, and fulfill your ministry. What's the second part of the word fulfill? Fill. Fill it up. Full to the brim. It has to do two ideas. One is we are debtors because God has given us so much we could never repay him. So it's that idea of constantly desirous of repaying the Lord for the grace and love and that he shared with us. But it also has to do with he's placed in us a stewardship. So develop that ministry to the full extent. Don't remain as a baby in Christ. Don't remain as a baby servant in Christ. Instead, let him cause you to grow up. Are you a different servant today than you were a year ago? 2 years ago or 3 years ago? What are you doing? We talked about earlier about preparation to utilize your gifts and skills to the utmost to fulfill your ministry. See, the Apostle Paul called out one of his guys, Archippus, in Colossians chapter 4. He said, I want you to tell Archippus that he's received a ministry from the Lord and he needs to fulfill his ministry. In fact, it's the last verse on your page. Take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord that you may fulfill it. Yeah. And God wants to call out every one of us in the body of Christ here at Capital Vision and say, fulfill your ministry. Let God use you to the greatest extent he's ever used you. What if we're able to tell our kids and grandkids and great-grandkids, do you remember that time when the body of Christ all got together and we started using our gifts and abilities like never before? When we could look one another in the eye and say, brother, sister, fulfill your ministry as I fulfill mine. And we could see the body of Christ expand, grow, and love people to him like never before. Or do you want to stand back and say, yeah, we were comfortable. We did it easy. Don't you want to be able to say, I checked something off my bucket list, and it was to see a vibrant, healthy, growing body of Christ where our gifts and abilities were there to bless each other. I mean, that's what gifts and abilities are for. Not for ourselves, but to give them away, to bless one another, use the gifts to serve one another in the various forms. They're to give glory to God. It's not about self-glory. It's all about glory to God. If anyone speaks, he should, as one, the very words of God. If one serves, do it with the strength God provides. So then all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate goal of all ministry, is that God gets the glory and praise and honor. He's the one. To him be glory and power forever and ever. One more on this. This is my prayer, that you love and that it may abound more and more in knowledge, depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern the best, may be pure and blameless in the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Ministry is to bless one another, and it's to glorify God. And last, he says, finish well. I mean, look at the last phrase. We read it earlier, but I'm being poured out. I've fought the fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. There is a store, something of even greater value for me. I just want to call you out and just say, do you have the guts to trust Christ in a new way, in a new season in your life today? Do you have the guts? Do you have what it takes to have courage to ask God to do something remarkable in and through you and your life? You know, when you read that story in the Bible where Jesus says some of the fruit bore 30%, some of it 100-fold, are you one of those that says, Lord, would you give me that 100-fold section? You know, could you make us a fruitful? Here's what Jesus said. He said, he's glorified when we bear much fruit. I don't know about you, but I just want to ask you, I want to ask you to join me in saying, this is a time and a season when God's calling on us to bear much fruit for him. Are you with me in that? Are you willing to courageously step forward and say, Lord, I want to find, focus, and fulfill my ministry. Now, there's a combination of courage to do that and humility. We all need to have courage combined with humility. If we take the courage away from humility and just, I'll do it, I'm the man, that's not good. It's all recognizing that it's from the Lord. But neither should we be so humble, oh, we're just doing our little thing. We should be bold and courageous and say, God, would you use the body of Christ here? I've been looking a few guys in the eye and saying, I want the warrior in you to rise up with the warrior in me, and let's take some kingdom ground. Let's let God use us. Check it off the bucket list that says, I want to be a part of a body of Christ, a vibrant part. You know, if you never tried it, try it. Even though we've been saying attend one, serve one, bring one, in a way, I'm against the attend one. I mean, we've got to be here. But if we're only attending, if that's all we're doing, we're missing the point. Attend one, serve one, bring one. Let God use you in some new, powerful, dynamic ways. Let's stand and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this word of encouragement from the Apostle Paul. Thank you that in our lives you called us to fulfill our ministry. Lord, we're praying today that there would be nothing that would stop us from the call you've placed on our lives and in our lives. Lord, for these brothers and sisters today, would you use us to connect, to grow, to serve, and to go. We tell you again today, Lord, we love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.